On this episode of the Real Life Caddy Podcast, I'm again joined by the dynamic duo of Mike Szabo and the one and only Man Bun. As always, we kick off the episode with our caddy stories. Highlights include the perfect, but not so perfect, four caddy for Man Bun, Szabo continues to get overpaid, and I witness a brand new protein bar for golfers. In the second part of the episode, we turn our attention to listener mailbag questions. These always bring up great discussions about golf, golfers and caddying, and this episode doesn't disappoint. I'm also happy to see the bell end of the week returns. If you have any feedback or questions, please email us podcast@glorifieddonkey.com or contact us on social media. If you want to take one step further and support us even more, please check out our website or Twitter account and buy the boys a beer. In the meantime though, grab a beer, sit back, relax and enjoy this episode. Actually, I'd like to add that if you're driving, there is no need to grab a beer. Welcome to episode 111 of the Real Life Caddy Podcast. This one is called, Is That Really a Protein Bar? Okay.
Wow, what else could it be?
We will get to that later on. I'm joined by Szabo and Man Bun again. Welcome, boys. Good morning, actually.
Thank you. Yes, it's nice and early. It's good
to
be here.
Yeah, good morning.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. We are getting this one done early because we're all working today, correct?
We are.
I mean,
I'm always working, but yeah. You deadbeats.
Like Gordon says, what's the crack?
What's the crack?
The crack is you got me at the crack of dawn for this podcast.
It is. It's early. And we get loads of stories. We get loads of questions, actually, from the previous episode.
Oh, good.
Coach Sean McLaughlin, he'd sent in about 15. So we'll kick off with our caddy stories, boys. What we got? Who wants to start?
Brandon, you want to
I can start.
Take it away.
Yeah, I guess just shortly after the last episode, I was at the Wii course. Mm-hmm. I think it's the big course, but whatever.
Agreed, Brandon. Agreed.
Yeah, it's the better course.
Oddly enough, you know.
But anyway, we're not talking about that now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just wanted to make a point.
Yeah, I agree.
I went up to the podium for a four caddy for four, which I love that job. It's my favorite job.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Why? Because you're not carrying bags, or
because I just get to, you know, I just get to verbally just communicate, just caddy for people.
You get it's to mostly be the, verbal. The star of the show, Brandon by himself without another caddy.
That's
he just
right.
Gets to work the crowd by himself.
I feel like I a traffic it. Director.
Yeah.
So anyway, I walk up there.
Incidentally, my least favorite job is a four caddy.
Yeah, I agree. And I can see why with Gordon, because he's more of a people person. He likes a couple caddies, four players.
Do you actually, when you four caddy, do you go ahead of the group?
Yes. And not, obviously, sometimes you get stuck back on the tee box because people aren't listening when they ask you questions. And then the next person asks you a question. And then the next person.
Oh, yeah.
And then pretty soon you're just on the tee box and somebody's hitting, and that's just the way it goes. But if I was doing my job correctly, I would have gave him the spiel when spiel. They weren't listening anyways on the previous green, right? Isn't that how it's supposed to go?
That was supposed to happen. But
so anyway, I go up to the podium and I see two very attractive women, in my opinion. Women on the golf course, especially women that are a couple years my junior.
Oh, okay. Wait, is this the picture you sent Gordon and I with those women in the little short video you sent us?
We got a nice little selfie inside the cart.
Very cozy.
I was right in the middle of them.
They were very cozy.
Yeah, very cozy.
Hashtag me too.
Was that one girl a professional golfer or something? She looked familiar.
She looked like a professional golfer, and she was anything but. She dressed the part. She looked the part.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been further off from the role. So I thought, okay, these two are married to these two guys. That was my first assumption, okay? Okay. I introduce myself, and then the guys come up. The one guy was kind of a bra. He was
kind of built, looked like he just left the gym, you know?
And he had the pecs, you know, he was nipping out. It was a cool morning at Spyglass. And then I see the other guy, who looked like he had been already drinking, you know, more than just a beer in hand. Like he looked like he was a little like, And so he had his shirt untucked, both shirts untucked. You know, he had the pants that didn't fit. He had all the name brand clothes on, but they looked dirty and like, you know, just unkept.
Stored them in a
just,
sock.
You know, he had like the crooked hat on that from the cool golf course. You know, with the sailor rope around the thing, and
he's that guy.
He was doing everything right, but it just looked so wrong. And so we get up to the first tee, and I give him my spiel. I tell him what's going on, take some pictures, and they're like, "Wow, this is so great! We're so happy that you're here. This is incredible. We're gonna have such a great time." And I'm thinking, "Yeah, this is gonna be fun." I go out to the four caddy position, and all of a sudden, they start hitting balls, and they're just everywhere, but in play. Yeah. And I said, "Oh no." It took us 22 minutes to finish the first hole. Woo. The guy leaves the cart. He finds me on the left side of the hole. I said, "I found your ball." I turn around, he's right there. He has one club and it's a 3-iron. And he's in about 6 inches of rough in an unmowed piece of patch of grass.
Gotta fluff that up.
And I look back at the cart and it's 120 yards back there. Nobody's anywhere near the other cart. I said, "Do you want me to go get you a different club?" "No, no, no, this will be fine." Oh, he punches it out. It goes into the sixth fairway. Nobody else knows where their ball is. "Hey, Brandon, do you know where my ball's at?" No. And I was like, "Oh no, this is so bad. This is getting off to such a bad start." And yeah, like I said, 22 minutes for his first hole. I said, "Oh boy." Marshall comes up from the second hole, like, where are you guys at? And it was it was kind of a mess. But we got on with it. I got him to sink some putts. We had a good time. You know, the one chick, she says, I go by Bones. So eventually we get to
She went by Bones?
She says, "My name is," I kind of forgot her name, but she says, "My name is this, and then I also go by Bones. Some people call me Bones."
Wow. Tricky.
I said, "Well, I'll wait till I get till I know you well enough to start calling you Bones."
Wow.
So we get about halfway through the round, and I said, "So why do they call you Bones?"
Oh no.
And she says, "Well," she says, "my friends like to tell people that I work at a strip club named Bones, or something. Bones is in the title of the strip club, so they call me Bones." I said, "Oh, that's funny." I said, "I used to work at a strip club myself." She says, "Like serving drinks?" I said, "No, it was a male entertainment establishment." And so the girls didn't even question, you know, and I just kind of went on with it. And so then I did a little dance. I twerked for him. I did a little twerk.
Oh, this is all coming together.
They were throwing
the background of the video.
You know, the one chick was teeing off. I was twerking. We're behind. The guys, you know, the chicks are throwing money at me.
Nice.
You know.
Did you get to keep the money?
No, I gave back the dollars, and then they gave me other dollars that were worth much more than the dollars that they were throwing at me.
That's nice.
Which was nice. Yeah. So,
her friends like to say she worked at her strip club. Do you find out what her actual job was, Bones?
They sold tasers.
Tasers?
And they sold stuff for law enforcement.
Wow.
Like what do they call them? Body cams?
Body cams.
Body cams and tasers.
So all four of them, like they were together in that same company?
Two of them did, and the other two were their plus twos. Gotcha. And they had known each other since they were kids. And turns out that they're not married, so I thought, okay, maybe I have a chance.
Oh, there you go.
You know.
Could Bones whatever. Have worked in a strip club?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
She also could have been one of the really hot strippers. Like, not just like... She was real hot. She lived in D.C. and had a condo in Scottsdale. And we were kind of throwing back and forth these things. I said, "Bones, you know," I said.
So you did start calling her Bones.
Bones went ahead and stroked a putt and made it. And I said, "Bones," I looked at her, I said, "you don't even need my help, do you?" And she says, "Nope." She goes, "I'm an independent woman." And I said, That's the only way I walk side by side with them is if they don't really need me, but they want me. And she says, yep. She goes, I'll be bringing in all the cash. I said, well, if you're lucky, I'll cook you dinner. I might even clean the dishes too. So we're like kind of getting hot and heavy in the middle of like, you know, one of the greens. Just looking at her, kind of like, you know, going toe-to-toe with her a little bit. We were the same height. It was kind of getting hot and hefty.
So are you going to stay in contact with Bones?
No. I don't know. Maybe she'll reach out to me. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, during the round, she tells me she's a left-handed golfer, and she goes, oh, yeah. And by the way, she used to be she played college softball. So she swung like an athlete, but had no idea what she was doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she says she had all these PXG clubs, and she goes, I just switched to left-handed. And I'm thinking, for what? Why? I said, was the game too easy right-handed? And so she had no idea. She just was trying things out, I guess. Maybe the guy at PXG sold her on some left-handed golf clubs. I have no idea.
That's brilliant. I mentioned to you boys in the last episode that I carried for some boys from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Just think Jersey Shore.
I love Jersey folks.
Well dressed apart, etc.
But like young Jersey Shore people?
They were 40, 50,
gotcha.
Somewhere in there. But all good lads. And we were a little bit slow. We're maybe 5-6 minutes off pace, but it's a Sunday morning. Maybe a Saturday morning. I can't remember. But on the 7th tee, one of the marshals comes up, the pace of play manager comes out, and I don't know what kind of training these people get, but they just don't know how to talk to people.
Oh, not even close.
Guys, you're way behind. You're two holes behind, almost two holes behind. And now that's, I'm sorry, we were not two holes behind. We were maybe about three quarters of a hole, let's say. Because by the time we got to 18...
They're on the next tee. And
the group header on 90, so how can we possibly be two holes behind when we're on 7?
They always oversell that. Always. So,
yeah.
And these boys weren't buying it. So at one point, he says, well, if you don't listen to me, you'll have to pick your ball up and move. And there's one guy.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's one guy talking about picks out. What did you call it?
He was nipping out.
Nipping out.
You don't talk to a guy from Jersey like that.
Yeah.
He says, okay, so I'm just going to ask out of interest. Yeah. Are you going to come and pick my ball up and move it? Are you going to come and do that? I'm just asking. I'm only asking. Huh? You're going to come and pick my ball up. That was gold. Man.
That is classic.
The lad shriveled. As I say, we get to the 18 and there's a group ahead on number 9. Yeah. I'm like, how can we possibly...
Hey, Marshall, here's my ball. Yeah. Come get it.
But the reason I call this episode...
Is that a protein bar?
Is that really a protein bar?
Yeah.
Is because this group on the Saturday, we're in the 9th tee, and I'm carrying for a lad, Large Tony. And he says, man, I got no energy. I need a protein bar, right? So I look across to the cart, I'm in the tee, and I'm looking, I'm going, that's a protein bar? And I walk down, and he goes, oh, I had my protein bar. It was a Snickers. And I went, really?
Lots of protein in there, bro. It's got peanuts in it.
And I picked up
the wrapper. Butter. Snickers. He goes, yeah, my protein bar. I went, wow, okay. I've seen everything now.
Whatever floats your boat.
Jersey boys. Zabo, what's been happening for you this week?
Well, I'm off the protein bars, a.k.a. Snickers.
I'm
off the sugar. You know, I had to do a self-evaluation after listening to the last few podcasts and my near misses with the bathroom.
Shitting yourself.
Yeah, and that one where, you know, I just had the Coke next to me and the orange juice, and I was talking about how I was going to quit sugar, and Gordon's like, well, you got an orange juice and a Coca-Cola right there, and had to give it up. So, yeah,
That's good.
It for almost a month. I'm feeling good.
Congratulations, Michael. Yeah. Some other caddies or just people in general could take that advice.
Before Zabo was on there, I had a guy a few days ago, rookie caddy, maybe a year. I've seen him twice. He said he's been here a couple of years. I've only seen him twice.
They all say that. They all say I've been here.
Oh, yeah. When I first started, two weeks ago.
Back in April.
Well, there was no subtleness about this one. We have a father, two sons, and the father's mate. Who he worked with. Morticians, actually.
Wow.
Two morticians.
You don't hear kinda that every gloomy. Day.
Yeah, it was interesting talking to them.
Somebody's got to do it.
The sons were called Nico, and wait for it, Sevi.
Nico and Sevi?
Sevi.
Wow.
He introduced himself as Sevi. I went, stop.
Yeah.
You're not called Sevi, sure enough.
Yeah, let's
decent see player play. As well.
He could play?
We get to 17, and the new caddy takes off the bib, puts it down and looks at me and goes, hey, Gordon, you're going to have to take care of this. I got to go. And I know exactly where he's going. And I looked at the boys and I just said, boys, tell me you're going for a shit without telling me you're going for a shit.
There you go. There's your sign. Take off the bib and sprint away.
Usually you would, a vet caddy would maybe from 16 to 17, hey, listen, take care of the tee, would you, and just quietly slip off.
Mm-hmm.
No. And then we
you've already, seen that move out of me.
I've seen that one. We moved off. We're already walking, and I look back, and you see the bib lying in the middle of the tee with two golf bags.
Sweat pouring from the face, running to the bathroom.
But you'd reckon that the sugar is directly related to you.
I've been off it a month, and my gut is kind of healed itself, and I'm feeling everything. I feel a lot better, and not having near the issues I was having. Life's been good. I actually had an interesting one about a week and a half ago. Kirshi and I, your former podcast partner, Kirshi and I had one guy I've had before, and he comes out with this, I wouldn't say corporate group, but it's like a charity foundation tournament. He's actually one of the most successful sports bettors of all time. So he comes out, and he normally pays out for the caddies for the day. So the other guy in the group, the new guy who wasn't invited last year, was like, I'm going to take care of all this for the caddies. I'm going to pay the caddies. And he told Kirk, Kirshi was caddying for him, so he told him that up front. He was like, look, I'm going to take care of it. And then my guy comes up to me. He's like, bro, he said he's going to take care of it, but you let me know if it's not good or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the end of the day, he gives Kirshi a wad of money, which was a ton of money, and he handed it to him. I was like, wow, that's really good. Kirshi split it with me, and he said, all right, this is for both days. This is really good. So we get the next day, and this sports bettor, he's like, we need some action today. So he bets Kirshi's guys, like, all right, we're going to move up. We're going to play the white tees. I'm going to put the over under at 75. You can't break 75. And this is the guy that paid us the first day. And they bet a pretty large sum of money on this. And this guy is nails all day. Kirshi's on point. The guy's even par through 15 holes. Even par. The bet is, what did I say? Four of it was three over. 75 was a push. 74 is a win. He's even par through 15 holes. And you know the 16th hole at the week course. It's a long par four. And it's, you hit it left, your OB. You hit it way right, you're off in the tree. So he plays it super safe, hits an iron, ends up making a double bogey. So he's two over. And then 18 snipes it OB out of bounds. So, jeez. I mean, this guy sets the line. So he's 18, all he needs to do is bogey's a push. Don't make double and you won't lose the bet. And he hits it OB and pars the second ball at 76. So anyways, we get done and he hands Kirshi the same amount of money on the second day. We thought we got paid for both days. So now we're in the uncomfortable. I'm in the uncomfortable position because my guy asked me. He's like, "Did he take care of you? Okay?" We're like, "Oh yeah, perfectly fine. He paid me." And she's like, "What do we do? What do you do, Zabo?" I was like, at first I was like, "Well, we walk away and say thank you very
walk
much."
Walk away.
And then I started thinking about it. It's like, if they talk tonight at dinner, or find out, that's a large sum of money to get paid twice that. So I was like, you got to say something.
Yeah.
Either I say something to my guy and let him know, look, I think he meant to pay us for both days, yes, or one day yesterday, and he just overpaid us. And Kirshi's like, I'll handle it. I'll talk to my guy. So Kirshi went right up to his guy and was like, look, man, I think that was for both days yesterday. He's like, nah, you're good. We're square. We're like, okay, thank you very much.
Honesty is always the best policy.
But it's like you're walking on eggshells there because you don't want them to talk to each other because you don't want to feel like you've gouged them or taken more money out of their pocket. But it's crazy. And that was after losing his bet. The point is, after he lost all that money, he paid out again, which he didn't have to do. But
all I'm going to say is the next time that your daughter has a prize raffle fund, there's mine.
Come on now. You guys got to contribute.
He sounds like he's bragging a little bit. You got my next raffle tickets.
I didn't mean to brag.
That's two episodes in a row just talking about money falling out of his pockets.
Oh, trust me. I went on a cold streak shortly thereafter.
Sure.
I did, big time.
You still smoking the menthols?
Daily and often. Daily and often.
Two packs.
Yep, you know it, Marianne. Get out of here, both of you.
There was reports this week, boys. We know you're talking about honesty there. I've heard reports because I have the inside track on what happens in the beer carts and the snack bars and stuff on the resort.
Yeah.
Reports of certain caddies just taking the piss. Raccoons, you know.
Even more so than usual? I mean, that's pretty common.
Well, I've noticed with a lot
that's of sad.
A corporate jobs lately that this year they usually have a master account. Mm-hmm. Now, I think a master account's great. You can walk up, oh, bottle of water, bottle of Coke,
yeah,
protein bar, Snickers.
Snickers, there you go. Right?
Something but for the birds.
Something for the birds, right? And if you've maybe left yourself a little short, you grab a sandwich or a hot dog if you're that way inclined. But I feel as if the older you get, the more years you've been carrying, the less you maybe take advantage of that.
Well, it depends on the situation. Like I had one last week, and I told you I got on a cold streak. I got on a real cold streak.
Cold
after.
Streak.
It was.
One day.
But I was working.
Coca-Cola, orange juice, Snickers bar.
I was working with Ian, and it was one of those corporate out of the shop, and it was their last day. There was like 15 groups, and not one caddy went with them. And you could tell from the get-go, you were getting your money out of shop, and that was it. And I looked at Ian, and I said, well, you're going to have to eat your tip today, boy. Get hot dog, hamburger. We made the turn, and it's not even like they were offering, but it was all master. So the cart came around, and I'm like, Ian, hot dogs. And we got hot dogs and chips, and yeah, but go ahead.
Carton of menthols. Yeah. Throw it in the tab. Well, this lad was reported. Somebody at the fourth reported to the halfway house and then to someone else that a certain individual had taken six Uncrustables, I think six or seven 10th tea bars. Then he hit up the snack bar at halfway again for more.
Yeah, I mean, that's
shocking.
I mean, okay. being a sugar Nazi myself, that's like 200 grams of sugar right there.
Unless he's opening a Costco, that's just unacceptable.
Well, you know, you can tell the sign when they start, like, they go back to their car. They find out it's corporate out of shot. They go back to their car for a bigger jacket that has bigger pockets or getting their locker in their pockets. They're planning that ahead of time.
Yeah, it's absolutely. That really annoys me because you know what's going to happen. Someone will make a complaint. Mm-hmm. That will go to the office. We will get an email saying, hey, guys, don't take the piss. You're no longer allowed to take anything.
Yeah. It's happened before. It's actually happened in the opposite way where the caddies were taking so much. And it was some bank job. And remember, now they do caddy lunches. They put out actual lunches for the caddies. So the caddies aren't allowed to get anything off the cart. But they provide you a lunch. The corporate group provides you a lunch.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
I mean.
Well, tremendous until you have the sandwich.
I imagine that those lunches cost more than
what you're taking off the cart.
Yeah, they probably
unless
the
you're
math.
The guy taking the gross box of Uncrustables.
Do you take anything off the cart if offered?
Rarely. I always say no, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Zabel. Wow. We know you're
I really don't anymore because like we were just talking about, like most of the stuff on that cart is full of sugar.
Yeah.
I mean. Full of sugar. So I don't drink Coca-Colas anymore. Don't have Powerades because it's full of sugar.
Come on. You and I tell people. You're one month in. It's hardly as if you're reformed.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm reformed, but I'm off it. I haven't had one Coca-Cola. I haven't had one Powerade. I'm off.
They say they have signs that say don't feed the wildlife. I tell people don't feed the caddies. Yeah. It's true. I said, you know how you get a real lazy caddy real quick? You feed him a bunch of food.
Yes, very true.
Caddies are very driven. They're very driven to get to the next shot, to get to the next hole, to get to the last hole, so they can go home and go eat or do whatever they want.
Don't feed them
booze. You start
booze,
feeding caddies, feed they get real slovenly on the golf course.
Very true. Very true, Brandon.
Well, I love the line. I've used it a few times. Oh, would you like something? No, I think I'll wait till the turn. Just leave your door open. You know what I mean? I eat something before the turn. I'll just leave the door open. Yeah. I might grab something at halfway. Yeah, not just now, though. just in case you want that hamburger.
I remember that loop we had, and you were like, they kept pestering me to get something. I'm like, no, I'm good. And then I come out of the halfway house, and I got like hot dog and chips, some chili, and you're like, thought you weren't getting anything, Zabo. I'm like loaded down with food. It was pretty funny.
Did I ever tell you about the one where we're at the 10th tee, we're up front, and the caddy was a rookie. He's down looking for the guy. So the player, the group ahead have teed off. The one dude has teed off. He's gone up to the snack bar, and his caddy, a rookie, is down in that thick grass on the right hand side where everyone pees.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And he's down there, like on his hands and knees, trying to find this ball. I'm just thinking, whoa,
walk away.
That's like Chernobyl down there. We ain't going anywhere near that thing. And myself and another carrier stand there. We're watching this happen. He kind of comes up with the ball and he's like, I found it. And his player comes down with like a basket of food. He's got a hot dog hanging out his mouth. He's got another one in his left hand. He's got his hands together holding the bottles, and he's got a sandwich and crisps and cookies. And, you know, he's got stuff hanging in his pockets. And he looked at his caddy, and his caddy's like, I found your ball. And the guy's like, oh, did you want something? You know.
I pulled up to work, pulled up to the parking lot the other day, and getting ready for work right on time. So just barely late. The caddy that I was working with pulls up next to me. Mm-hmm. And I get out of my car, and you know, we're both kind of fiddling through our trunks and getting the stuff, getting the thing, getting this. And he goes, oh no, oh, he's rifling through his trunk. Oh no. I said, what happened? I said, did you forget your bib? Because sometimes, you know, sometimes we take it off, we need to wash it, we forget it.
Wash it?
Yeah. You don't wash your bib?
Caddies don't wash bibs.
I wash mine.
I wash my bib. Yeah, I do wash anyway. Mine. He says, oh no. He goes, I grabbed two left shoes.
No way.
Yeah. And I said,
well, what did he have on his feet?
Oh no. He had Crocs on his feet.
Oh no.
He had his slippers, if you will, on his feet. Comes in to find out he's got two left shoes. And I usually have two, maybe three pairs of shoes in my trunk.
Did he fit into size sevens?
And yes, 8.5s. Turns out he was a 9. I'm actually wearing the shoes that he wore. And the joke of the day was, is you never know what a man's life is like till you walk 6 miles in his shoes.
Love it. Love it.
So yeah, so I let my caddy friend, my coworker, use my shoes. You know, he was trotting along a little slow. Maybe they were a wee bit small.
A wee bit small.
Tight.
Twice this happened. I was in Matty D when I was staying with him years ago. Mm-hmm. I'd been in the car. And once he's in the driveway, very early morning. And the other time we actually got to the course. But both times he went, oh shit, I forgot to put on socks and shoes.
He's just
he had his Ugg barefoot? Boots on. Ugg boots.
Oh jeez. Did he work in them?
No, he just... The one with the time in the driveway.
Oh, gotcha.
And then the other time we're halfway there. Actually, no, we got to the course and then we drove back.
Wow.
To get shoes.
Yeah, you can't work in Uggs.
That's twice with me in about 8 weeks. So you can only imagine how many times that's actually happened.
Yeah, true.
There was another one that I had this week, boys. There was a bunch of English lads, so they really appreciated this. One of the guys had a, you know, that Scotty Cameron putter with the shaft in the middle of it? XD maybe, or...
What do you mean the shaft in the middle?
So it's a middle.
It looks like a satellite. Looks like an antenna.
Center shafted.
Center shafted.
Semicircle.
Yeah.
You know the part.
Yeah, exactly. The Red X.
Yeah.
Red X.
Yeah.
Something like that, but it's a newer one. It's a newer version.
Gotcha.
And we're walking off the second green. The guy rolls the putt, misses it. The other caddy says, oh, that's a lovely putter you got there. I got one of those. You know what I mean? Elevate himself.
Well, yeah. Good for you. I got nice watch. I got one of those too.
Yeah. And then he says, it puts a really nice roll on it, doesn't it? Not and the guy went, yeah. And I look at the guy. His name was Andy. I says, like, what do you expect?
Yeah.
And he says, oh yeah, no, I love the putters that kind of hop off the ground. You know,
that's what I was going for when I bought it.
So we just started talking about different sayings in the course of just the most nonsense stuff that people say. Oh, yeah. It puts a really good roll on it. No, I bought it because it's a shitty roll.
Yeah, exactly. That was the point when I bought it. It put a good roll on it.
Speaking of nonsense, I was caddying the day before yesterday. My player, who hadn't played golf in 2 years.
Nice.
Says, Brandon, where do you want this one? He's hitting a tee shot. He says, where do you want this one? I said, yeah, right down the left side. He goes, I'm going to float the tree line. I said, okay, sounds good. I like that. I'm going to float the tree line. Float so tree for line. The rest of the day, anytime he asked me, where do you want this? Side. Where should I hit this tee shot? I said, yeah, just float the tree line.
Float the bunker. I worked with a boy yesterday, and he every single time he said, on the ground.
I don't know why that offends you. When you brought that up originally,
It doesn't offend me. Just think
when
it's
you
ridiculous.
Brought it up originally, you were like, I've never heard this. It's so uncommon. It's a very common saying.
It's not a common saying. It's common saying at a country club or in LA, but it's not a common saying.
Throughout the country,
I come from the home of golf, Zabo. They've never heard that mentioned ever. Oh, on the ground.
That's what we say here in the States.
No, you don't say in the States. We only say it country clubs or in LA.
Everybody says it.
You ever said that in your life?
On the ground. I've heard Brandon say that.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you've heard him say it.
He's from Detroit. Doesn't count.
What I used to say when I was a kid was, is I would always say, into the fan.
Oh, I like that.
Do you like that?
Into the fan.
Love that.
Yeah.
Into the fan.
That's a good one. That's another common saying.
Or I would say down fan.
Well, I don't know about that.
I would say into the fan, not down fan.
Yeah, down fan doesn't make any sense.
Down fan. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Speaking in nonsense.
Caddy stories are over, boys. We're going to go and smoke a menthol, and then we're going to come back with the... we'll go and get Zabo a Coke, a Snickers, and a menthol.
And we'll come back with a pancake?
A bunch of mailbag questions. During the break there, Man Bun said maybe we hit too heavy at the caddies who hammer the carts. This isn't like the zoo. You can feed caddies. Yeah?
You're allowed to feed caddies.
Oh, no, that's not what I was talking about. I was thinking could maybe fit in some other things.
Okay. Well,
we went from Zabo's gut bacteria to Uncrustables to...
All related.
All I'm saying is it's fine to feed the animals at the zoo, but just make sure the animals don't take the piss.
For sure.
Very true.
You shouldn't have to take out a second mortgage to, feed your caddy on the course. It's a bad look for all of us.
It is.
Now, Zabo, we never mentioned who is the sponsor of this podcast.
The sponsor is Big Game Golf.
Have you been using it?
I have been using it, yeah.
Yep. I've been using it a lot for eScorecard.
Yeah, I need to play golf more myself so I can use it on myself, but I've been using it, playing around with it for players in certain games.
Yeah, so...
It's very useful.
For our listeners out there, our sponsor is Big Game Golf. It's a golfing app that you can easily download from the Apple Store or on Android. I've been using it with my players. Normally what you'd want to do is get people to download it, and then they're in the system.
Yeah, it's easier. I mean, you can download it and then you can add all your buddies and their indexes, but it's easier if everybody's registered where you can just invite people to the game. And that way they can keep track of their live score.
They can keep track live score. If you've got them off the bench and you've only met them, though, I've been using the eScore, and I was in touch with Rich about how to send their scores to them. At the end, you can hit print. And then you can actually email a text.
Yeah, yeah, which is a great feature. An amazing feature, really. And then that entices them to get the app, as they should.
Then it invites them to download the app. So, yeah, definitely check that out. Big Game Golf. We're going to get you downloading the app today.
Yeah.
And if you do download the app, it will ask you for a promo code or some sort of code. You can put in G Donkey 1 or 2.
Lowercase. All lowercase.
G-donkey. All lowercase. I'd been on the Twitter a few weeks ago asking for some mailbag questions, and a guy called Coach Sean McLaughlin had sent in some absolute zingers. He didn't just send in one or two, he sent in several. So this is the guy that used to caddy in the East Coast, mm-hmm. Long Island and the Hamptons. Going to start throwing these at you, boys.
Okay.
Would you rather? Easy loop, players grabbing clubs, going to the green, taking their own bunkers, really cool, easy-going players. They pay the base rate and a decent tip. Or would you prefer total shit players? They're wanting the full tour experience, call you in every shot, never grab a wedge when they miss the green, but they pay way over.
That's a tough one. I'd have to go with the latter. I'd say way over. I mean, either way, we're going to be out there 4.5 to, unfortunately, some days 6 hours. So I go for the money.
Yeah, always the money.
Yeah, I mean, that's a 51-49 for me. I would take the money. I do really appreciate flow in all aspects of life, and I appreciate good golfers who are interested in the game of golf. There's a lot of distraction that happens with people who aren't ready to play golf and aren't necessarily focused on their golf game. And so taking the money for the shite players who are all over the place and are literally waiting there staring at the bird in the tree before they hit their shot for you to like say two words to them, it can be a little much.
Okay. It can. I think that you're right. Day in and day out basis, correct. But, if I just had to pick one, I'll take the money.
Yeah.
I'll take a hack every day that throws down money.
For sure.
Don't care. Would you rather caddy in a tournament or casual round?
Tournament. I love tournament golf. Love it.
Man bun?
Casual round.
Casual round.
Both of you?
Yep. Yeah. People, if you carry for a pro, it's just, yeah, it can be fun, but maybe once a year, twice a year, tops.
Really?
Carrying for in a tournament for an amateur, they don't enjoy it.
There's some truth to that. There's some truth to that.
So if you can't enjoy it, you know, they just get all tight and whatever. Casual round every single day. That's why we do what we do.
I love the tournaments. I love the tournaments.
Would you rather caddy at just one place or mix it up at different courses?
Love mixing it up. I think that's what makes where we work so great, that we have three to, I mean, honestly, more than that, we probably have 5-6 courses locally that we can caddy at, that we do caddy at frequently.
Mix it up. Variety is the spice of life. And if you caddy at the same golf course every single day, it gets a little, I wouldn't say boring, but it's fun to go other places, see different holes, meet different people, I guess, or you know, maybe if you could switch it up for a member golf course. There's a member golf course that some of us caddy at in the area. And yeah, it's just nice to be in a different arena.
It is. Super nice.
I will mix it up. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mix it up.
As a famous person once said, variety is the spice of life.
Mm-hmm.
And
we
I love
heard
it.
That out of Brandon that? Too. Yeah,
yeah. There are several people I know, several caddies that we work with, who have no interest in going to the other courses where we work.
It's funny how that is too. There's a number of guys that they just stay at their home track.
Fear.
And never leave.
I don't know. There's
no matter what they get paid. Like they're loved by their players. They're like, oh, come with me. No, I'm good.
Well, there's a Northern Irish guy who we work with, who is nicknamed the Volcano due to his horrendous, horrific temper on the golf course.
Seriously, that guy?
So there's a couple of things.
He is like the most mild-mannered man I've ever met.
We played, my older brother and myself played with the Volcano 15 to 20 years ago.
We're talking about the same guy, right?
Yes. And he missed a putt. He missed a four-footer. And he had I will never forget, his zebra putter. And we're on Laguna Seca, which is where the racetrack is, but there's a golf course.
Mm-hmm. Robert Trent Jones, senior and junior.
Well, thank you for that. Highway 68 goes right next to it, but it's about 70 yards from the hole.
Mm-hmm.
He throws down 3 or 4 F-bombs, throws the ball in the air, baseball swings it, catches it so sweet, straight onto the highway, right? Shits himself, thinks he might have killed someone, says, I'm leaving, boys. And anyway, off he went.
Wow. You would never guess it with this guy. This guy is the most mild-mannered man I've ever talked to.
Yeah. Big Tony once was at a caddy club event, and they get to the 5th or 6th hole, and they see this golf cart, like the pool cart, absolutely destroyed.
I've heard, he's told me this too, that he used to have, which is another shocking one with him, because he is even more mild-mannered than this other guy we're talking about. Big Tony is like the calmest guy I've ever met. And
No, Tony didn't do this.
Oh, Tony did.
No, this was the Volcano who did
this.
Oh,
the Volcano. But so, Tony used to have anger too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the Volcano had destroyed his pool cart and left the course after maybe 9 holes. So, yeah, this is the guy I'm talking about.
I want to play golf with him.
He doesn't play anymore.
That's funny.
Gave up the game. Well, I'm once working with him a few years ago, and we're at the 6th hole, big course, out front, waiting for the players to tee off. And I said, oh, these guys are playing tomorrow. They're here for 3 or 4 days. I said, are you going to follow? And he says, you know what, Gordon? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really want to see people's face more than twice, so I will not be following.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Hmm.
So, there you go. We'll all of us take the mix.
Next question.
Share a time when you totally put your foot in your mouth during a loop and you suspect it cost you money at the end of the round. Where do I start?
Yes.
Oh, where do you start?
Gordon is notorious for this.
I could have a full episode dedicated to this, but I'll let you boys jump in.
So this happened a few years ago. I caddied for these two guys a number of times, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years in a row, and I didn't see him for a couple years. And then one of the guys came back with, he was a golf pro, came back with a different group, and I was like, you know, I'll change names, but I was like, oh, how's Steve doing? How's Steve been? He's like, oh, man, Steve killed himself a couple years ago. And it's like, wow, you're trying to just ask how your buddy is, a mutual friend that we've both, that you know, he's your best friend. I've caddied for him 4 or 5 times, and and he killed himself. And it's like, oh man, where do we go from there? This was like the second hole because I had only known these guys together. So they were good friends and it's like, I caddied for him every time. And then it's like, wow. And then the whole day you just kind of think about that and you're like, damn, and kind of put it in his head. And it's just very awkward and uncomfortable. Another one, husband and wife that I used to caddy for, and he came out one time and I was like, oh, he came out by himself. I'm like, how's the wife? He's like, well, she divorced me. I've been cheating on her.
Oh.
Like, oh boy. I'm like, okay.
All right.
Where we go from here.
So it goes left to right. let's
move on.
Moving on. Yes. Yes.
So I could obviously come up with at least 50 that I can think of.
You put your foot in your mouth every time I work with you.
I'll give you this one, right? Canning for a lady. Eats protein bars.
Snickers.
I say to her, when's the baby due?
Oh, no.
As soon as it came out my mouth.
Oh, no.
I went, oh.
No.
No, why would you do that? Why would you do that? And she just looked at me. There you go.
Where do you go?
As soon as it came out, I went, when is, and at that point I'll go,
game over.
Game over. Yeah. Not pregnant, just a girthy lady. But the way it looked, you know, not that I'm an expert at looking at pregnant women, but it looked that way. So
yeah,
that's the type that you might be thinking, am I worried for my job? Never mind tip.
Yeah, I bet she's never forgotten that either.
She will not have forgotten that. Or I did her a favor and she got off the protein bars.
There you go.
Oh, I got a good one. I was caddying with Justin one day for these four women who were maybe, you know, at least in their late 50s and maybe early 60s. And, you know, they were all just very nice ladies, nice, pretty women.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were on the 10th hole at the week course, so we had been with them for a couple hours. And I said to the lady, I said, you know, you smell nice. I said, what is that you're wearing? She goes, I'm wearing Bengay.
Now, this is one that actually Man Bun may or may not remember. He called me onto a job. It was the last day of a little tournament.
Mm-hmm.
He'd had done the year before. This was day 3 of 3. Couldn't get another caddy. Asked me to join. This is probably 6, 7, 8 years ago.
I made a bunch of phone calls before I called Gordon.
100%. Well, I know that.
Somebody finally.
I finally found Gordon.
Yeah, yeah.
17th tee, shotgun start. Four guys. Let's say they were all of the same ilk, okay?
Mm-hmm. Cut from the same cloth.
This is it. You know, I'm not going to put my foot in my mouth. Unlike Brandon, who 100% put his foot in his mouth. So we're waiting to tee off. A ball hasn't been in the air yet. It's not even been struck.
Mm-hmm.
Four guys are kind of pacing around like lions in the den, just excited about teeing off. And it's wonderful. They got a chance of winning this tournament.
Yeah.
Big thing. One of them turns to, I think he actually said something to me.
It was like he said I had a doppelganger. Like.
Yeah, he said I had a doppelganger. And I was like, no idea. And then Brandon goes, hey, well, they say I look like such and such. And I was like, who's that? And he says, he's one of those somethings off Saturday Night Live.
And all these guys happened to be that same somethings. And all four
of them were of the same ilk.
Ooh.
And one of them then made that comment. And Brandon looked at me like a deer in the headlights. Just like
a little frightened kitten.
And I was
like, what did I do? What did I do?
Laughing inwardly, thinking this is going to be a great 4.5 hours.
Oh, yeah. Man. And great start to the day.
Do you remember on the 14th, I made a comment when one of them hit a tee shot and he went, F you, Gordon.
Hey, yeah, that's.
And we walked off the tee and I says, we were laughing. I said, I think he was serious.
I think he was.
And then he apologized to me. He's like, I'm really sorry for swearing at you like that. And he said, I'm calling you names. I was like, oh, you called names. You backed it up with names. He said, I get really too serious about the game. But I blame Brandon for kicking it off so poorly. Classic, you remember that one, Brandon?
Classic. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You remember very, that? Very vividly. Yeah.
We all pull our hard put to our forget. Foot in our mouth.
Yeah. Our boy, J Day.
John Day, right?
How do you cure the chipping yips apart from drinking stiffer drinks or retiring from the game?
You keep your hands in front of the club head. You forward press your hands and you hold the angle of your wrist on the front side and on the back side. And you pull the club head back with your arms and you don't move your wrists. Mm-hmm. People think they gotta throw the club head. I mean, you're literally chipping the ball. Okay. This is not a full shot. You don't need to swing hard. the cup is right there.
Mm-hmm. Double.
It's not always as simple as that when it comes to the yips, because it's such a mental thing. And that's where I've seen many a scratch, 1-2, +1, +2, +3 handicaps that have the chipping yips that go to chip one-handed or cross-handed. Sometimes it's a fix like that because it gets so far in your head that simple mechanics are not always the fix. Sometimes you have to just be way outside the box. I've seen a couple of plus handicaps chip one-handed and do it phenomenally because they can't chip because they have the chipping yips.
That's interesting that you say that. I mean, the same thing goes for putting yips too.
It does.
I played golf with Man Bun last week and found something. This is quite amusing. There was a couple of things here. I've been chipping horribly of the last year, maybe that's probably 15 to 20 rounds. And what I hate more than anything, having been a decent golfer, is starting to make the same mistakes that the people we caddy for. It's almost, you know, Johnny Hack is becoming part of me. Well, I decided to keep my head facing the ground after impact.
Keep staring at the spot you
keep
hit.
Staring at the spot.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, did I chip in three times? I remember
you,
twice.
You did.
Maybe three times.
Nice.
And all of a sudden.
You had a couple tap ins, two of them went in.
And nice. I went, just turned around like that. So what I was doing was I was lifting my body, my head, which lifted my body as I was coming through.
Common mistake of all the
people. He was actually watching. He was watching me chip, and he said, man,
wow,
I might want to try that.
Now, one thing that we did do when I realized this was that on the first or the second hole, I then said to him and Cody, I went, boys, I've worked it out. And I looked at them both.
I just found something. I worked it out.
I just found something. Like, we hear this all the time. I just found something.
I figured it out.
And I realized, yeah, I just said what I laugh at people saying all the time. No one cares about your golf. No one cares that you found it out, Big G.
Very true.
Nobody cares.
Very true.
I don't care, Gordon.
And I then told them about five holes later. I said, I know you don't care, but I'm just going to tell you anyway, you know? Yeah.
Just so you know.
So there you go, John Day. Stiffer drinks, retiring from the game. Well, take some of that advice from the boys.
One-handed, cross-handed.
This comes from Paul in Walnut Creek in California. Do you guys prefer a rangefinder, a watch, or just old-school sprinklers to do your job?
Good question.
That's a good question, actually.
I am 100% a rangefinder guy. I always... Mm-hmm. The rangefinder I found to be very accurate within 1 to 3 yards of accuracy, but I always kind of glance at the sprinkler head, know how deep every green is. I always like to know personally, especially if you have a decent player, where the front edge is. Front edge and pin, and you can always laser the front edge too.
Totally rangefinder. I like using the sprinkler heads. I usually find a sprinkler head, walk it off to the ball, and then use the rangefinder.
Yeah, and I'm 100% against those watches. I don't trust those watches at all.
Yeah, and I think it's
really
kind of, I mean, come on, folks. It's just clever marketing. You're just being sold some gadget.
Interesting.
You know, I think it's laziness. I honestly think that caddies who use watches, it's a lazy move as well.
Okay, well, I'm going to get one. Because
it's laziness is the name of Gordon's game.
That's just my personal opinion. Yeah. It might not be true. I
agree with you.
I don't. I don't know.
There's a lot of uphill holes that I want the back edge number and just say, well, that's what it's going to be. Yeah. Hit that number. I'm going to get one. I would really like
to
watch and just see how it goes.
I think the watches are helpful for a lot of the hacks we caddy for when they're in like other fairways and stuff. Like if you're in like, you know, two fairways over, one fairway over, and you can't really laser anything. You're over a bunch of trees. Look at the watch. It gives you a ballpark at least of the front edge.
I want to be carrying as little on me as possible, and the rangefinder I don't.
You're thinking of getting rid of the rangefinder for a watch.
Yeah, or try
this lifer caddy is thinking about trading his rangefinder in for a watch.
Are you going to get the golf board now too, or that little ATV they got to caddy on?
You're talking about laziness. Well, how is having a rangefinder any less lazy than actually doing old school and pacing off the sprinklers?
Because a rangefinder is a rangefinder. A rangefinder.
A rangefinder is a rangefinder. I tell you what, he's on point this morning.
It gives you an exact yardage. Sure, it might be off by one or two because everybody who uses rangefinder knows you hit something, it says 139, then it says 136, then it says 137, then it says 139.
Well, stop moving around in the spot. You just stay in the one spot. Listen, we ain't caddying for Brooks Koepka here.
Long story short, I prefer a rangefinder.
Me too.
Double.
Rangefinder.
And I'm going to go for the GPS.
even though he doesn't have one.
If you have any questions.
Are we on the right golf course here? What hole is this? What hole is this?
How is it 492 yards?
Which green are we playing to?
If you have any questions, email them in podcast@glorifieddonkey.com or send them in on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just look for Glorified Donkey. Now, boys, we got to move on to shout outs before we leave. What you got?
I got a shout out.
Oh, sorry. No. Wait, hold on. People have been texting and emailing saying, where's the bell end of the week? Because there hasn't been one in a long time. So no,
let's do it.
Do we have a bell end of the week?
Well, I got to nominate my good friends, Brandel Chambly and Eamon Lynch.
Okay.
Who both blocked me on Twitter as the
wow
integrity of most golf journalists holds true. They just block people who disagree with them.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It is incredible.
You know, we got a lot of people asking about LIV Golf and stuff. I've always thought that going forward, you want to create more evergreen content so that in 5 years' time, someone could listen to this episode. And I think if you talk about specific times in golf, it kind of dates you. I do think that it's worth just mentioning what's going on. LIV Golf I've watched the last three or four events, and the one in Australia was off the charts.
The one in Tulsa, didn't the playoff get cut off by Family Feud or something?
Yeah. They weren't expecting it. But I watched in the app.
Oh, there you go.
So I watched the...
Gotcha. Do-do-do-do-do.
DJ won that one too, right?
And we're just about going to the PGA Championship. It's quite incredible just how one-sided the Golf Channel, the PGA Tour, all of the fake media, golf media are.
It's crazy. And it hasn't happened yet. And there's a good chance it happens in this PGA. A LIV player will win a major probably this year. And good chance it happens here at the PGA.
Mm-hmm. Rory McIlroy's back down.
Oh, big time. Totally back. And he backpedaled in a way where he's just not saying anything anymore. He's like, I'm just not going to comment on anymore because he's going to be, he's in Monahan too. He hasn't been talking about it. I mean, they're all going to back down. They're going to come together. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the world of golf is going to be healed because it's fractured right now, big time.
Interesting.
I don't have a bell end of the week.
Well, it's going to be your boy, Eamon Lynch.
And it is?
Yeah, of course it is.
Good.
I think it's shocking. As I say, the journalism in the last 20 years has completely changed, regardless of what you're covering. To be the old school journalism was to look at both sides of an argument and then give a decent opinion, not backed upon what you're getting paid.
Yeah.
And if you're on the Golf Channel, which is owned by a member at Augusta who is part of basically the PGA Tour, if you wait, the massive affiliation, what's the outcome going to be?
Yeah.
So I think that's where we're at. And apparently Chambly, I don't watch it. I don't watch the Golf Channel, but anyone I talk to is so much of the coverage leading up to the tournament is about negative press about the LIV golfers.
It is.
That's 100%. All they talk about.
Yeah, it's all they talk about. It's absurd.
And it's absurd. And the press conferences this week, apparently there will be no Koepka, who finished second at the Masters.
They just added him.
They just added him.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was something out of the, I think, 17 players who were going from LIV to go and play in this. Mm-hmm. And only one of them at the time was on the press conference.
It's crazy. It's
absurd.
It's made golf not really fun to watch. Like even just the regular PGA Tour events, even like the elevated feel last week in Texas, it was, I mean, who ended up winning? Jason Day ended up winning, but it was like, I didn't even bother watching it. Yeah. It's not even worth watching. Mm-hmm. It's no fun.
Yeah. I think golf, very much like a lot of sports, is turning into, I heard someone say, oh, NBA, I'll watch the playoffs, love the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So what, you don't watch the rest of the regular season? Golf is turning very much
I watched Sunday at the Masters, but other than that, I'm not interested. Yeah.
So can't be bothered.
Okay, well, Eamon Lynch.
I got a bell end of the week.
I'll go on.
The local caddy who took too much from the beverage cart.
Ooh, hey. Six Uncrustables, some protein bars.
I want to give a shout out to James Coleman. Right, James was the first guy to buy us a beer.
Oh, yeah, yes. buymeabeer.com. Yeah. Check it out.
Buy me a coffee, but if you go to the Glorified Donkey website or the Twitter handle, you can actually find the link. If you want to support us, buy us a beer.
Please.
Buy us five, buy us 10, whatever Please. You fancy. There'll be a birthday coming up soon.
Thank you very much for the cold and frosty beverage.
James Coleman. He's a rep in the golf industry.
Appreciate you, James.
And he caddied about 30 plus years ago.
Nice.
He says, your pod is Truly outstanding. It makes me tear up laughing on my car rides home. Thank you.
That's cool.
Good to hear, James. Thank you for listening.
James, you're the man. So again, if you, anyone else out there wants to support us, go to the website, go to the Twitter, buy us a beer. I want to say a shout out to Fish. He's from Colorado, Dylan Fish. And he was a listener that I've been in contact with for a long time. I carried for him about a month ago.
Nice.
He got bent out of shape because I didn't give him a shout out on the last episode.
Oh, Dylan, we carry for so many people.
Well, I said to him, I says, but sometimes you give the shout outs, there's, you know, there'll be a run of three or four people.
Yeah, exactly.
And you give those them the shout outs. Yeah. This is not, we might tell a story and it didn't just happen last week, it might have happened 3 months ago.
Exactly.
So, you know, settle down, Dylan, calm down.
There's a lot of people that are upset that I don't shout them out. I mean,
stop tearing up. And I did actually threaten, maybe you're the bell end of the week.
Yeah, so you're not, apparently. Eamon Lynch
beat Cash think beat. He would be honored.
Doug Wolf, and he wanted me to tell Man Bun that he's from a town right next to you in Michigan. So what town are you from?
St. Clair Shores, yeah, so Michigan.
Somewhere
doesn't Doug right live, where does he lives in like, where does Doug live now? Montana or something?
No, different guy.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Who are those two guys you
eight
ship
and a half,
to? The,
8.5 miles.
Yeah. 8.5 miles. And I want to say a shout out to my English buddies, Andy, Tony, Mick, and Martin. They're from Nebworth in England. Absolute legends. Sevi. His brother Nico, and their dad, and their friend George. And then finally, everyone listening in Kuwait. The Real Life Carry Podcast is the number one golf podcast the country of Kuwait.
Nice. No so kidding.
If you're that one person out there.
Yeah, but thank you for listening.
I can tell by the numbers that there's more than one.
Wow, but, we're all, growing.
All the listeners in Kuwait, I am guessing maybe Western oil workers.
Maybe we can get a little of that oil sponsorship money. What do you think?
I would love
that.
What do you think? Throw a word in for us.
I got a shout out, Matthew Janey. I caddied, I didn't caddy for him. He was in my group a few weeks back. Real quirky guy from Southern California, and he was kind of working in the golf business. He was superintendent, then went to some other things. But he made this little alignment tool. He 3D printed, and he was showing me the setup, and he actually sent me a few. I'm going to give a few to you boys to try out, but it was pretty cool. And
I would love
once
to try
we
it.
Figure out where he's selling it, Matthew, get in contact. Tell me where you're selling it at. We can share that on the podcast. Also, got a shout out. I've talked a few times about my good buddy Chris Levine. I was asking for help with finding him a kidney. He was in need of a kidney transplant, and he actually just got his kidney transplant.
Sweet.
3 days
that's
ago.
Wonderful.
He's in the hospital doing very well. So, Chris, love you. Glad you're doing well.
Perfect.
See you in July.
Mind bun.
And, I got a couple new ones.
Sweet. Bones?
Yeah.
You got to shout out Bones.
What's up, Bones? When you going to call me back? I'm going to give a shout out to Gavin Pack, who... I caddied for, he was out here with his wife on their anniversary, and he mentioned to my cousin, they do business together, and they were on a conference call, and they were kind of wrapping up the conference call, kind of like we're wrapping up the podcast. He said, Oh, what's new? What do you got going on in the next couple of weeks? And Gavin said, I'm going to Pebble Beach. And my cousin said, my cousin's a caddy at Pebble Beach.
I caddy.
So anyway, and Gavin Pack, he gifted me a nice head cover. He has like a golf accessory brand as like a side project.
What's it called?
It's called Lewis Lloyd.
Lewis Lloyd.
They make head covers and like, you know, stuff like hats and gloves and like,
check him out. Lewis Lloyd. Is it LewisLloyd.com?
Yes, it is.
LewisLloyd.com.
There you go.
And thanks, Gavin. And most recently, I caddied for Matthew Nuttall and Zachary Welsh for 2 days. I had these guys. We had a great time. Matthew won a sales competition, and he was hosted by the company in which that he was selling their products, tools.
Perfect. Nice.
Fun guys. Thanks, okay, thanks for your support, guys.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, lads. I hope you have a great loop today.
Thank you. You as well.
To our listeners, many thanks for listening. Please go out, rate and review the podcast. You can do that, I believe, on both Spotify and Apple. Every little helps. If you have any questions, like I said earlier, send them in on the social media or podcast at glorifieddonkey.com. Make sure if you're new to the podcast, go back and listen to the previous episodes in the library. But until the next time, get out there, enjoy your golf, but more importantly, keep it humble.